Let's take our Bibles and look in Jeremiah chapter 38 as we continue our reading commentary. This prophet, we saw last time how they put Jeremiah down into a dungeon, shut him up. The king would not hear his word. But then we see where the Lord tendered an Ethiopian to draw him up out of the mire and drew him out. Then he took him from the dungeon, and it says there in verse 13 that we saw last time, Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. This would have been a prison a little more comfortable, although not comfortable. That would have been near the king's palace. And the Lord purposed that because Zedekiah, who was the king here, out of sight, out of mind, as long as he didn't have to deal with Jeremiah, then his conscience was soothed. But now the Lord purposed that he be brought out and put right next to the king and his house. So verse 14, we'll read from verse 14 down the end of the chapter. Verses 14 through 16, then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. Remember, last time he called for Jeremiah, he wanted to meet in private, hoping that somehow Jeremiah's message would change. But now, the Lord purposed that he called him, and he said, I want to ask you a thing and hide nothing from me. This shows that even when sinners are not necessarily hearing the word preached, yet in their consciences, like Paul said, the conscience either accuses or excuses. Who knows what was going on in Zedekiah's heart at this time as he battled the message that indeed Jerusalem would be destroyed by the Babylonians. Then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, if I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? In other words, don't expect my message to change. If you were angry before, you're really going to be angry now. And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? So Zedekiah, the king, swears secretly. So he's still trying to negotiate here with Jeremiah. Swears secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord liveth. And that's an amazing statement there, because he was standing in opposition to the Lord and his word, and yet he uses the name of the Lord like so many do in religion. As the Lord liveth that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life. Here we find Zedekiah wanting a private meeting with Jeremiah. And the similarities between this meeting and what we saw already in Jeremiah 37 are great, and yet there are some other differences that we find here. Here we find different charges that are made against Jeremiah, and he's in a different place of incarceration. We have a different manner of him being rescued, and a different place of meeting the king. So some are trying to say, well, 38 and 37 is the same meeting. It's not. This is the second one that Zedekiah was directed of the Lord to call Jeremiah. And Jeremiah rightly challenged the king. Some say, well, he feared the king because he said, well, you got to promise not to kill me. But that wasn't what Jeremiah was doing. Jeremiah wasn't negotiating here for his life. Rather, he was putting it back on the king. If what I have to say to you, it's not going to be any different than before. So what's going to keep you from wanting to kill me now as you did before? And he told him, basically, you can't handle the truth. And that's ultimately the problem with sinners. They can't handle the truth in their rebellion, in their depravity. as it's set forth in the Word. We're rebels by nature. It takes the Spirit of God to give us ears to hear. And we know that Zedekiah was not one of the Lord's. The Lord never gave him his spirit to repent. But he gave this promise to Jeremiah and did it in the name of the Lord. Swore this oath in the name of the Lord. It's like so many in religion today. They'll use the name of the Lord when they think it's to their advantage. But here in verses 17 and 18 then, we have the final word to Zedekiah. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord. So Jeremiah's not speaking on his own behalf here. He's declaring the word of the Lord. What a true servant of the Lord does. Thus saith the Lord. And notice these three descriptions. It's not just generically talking about God. Thus saith the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, that's Jehovah God, the great I am, the God of hosts, that's his sovereignty. He rules and reigns over all the heavens, and the God of Israel, the God of that people that he chose and brought out from Egypt. As a type and picture of his people in Christ, redeemed. That if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burnt with fire, and thou shalt live in thine house. You say, well, how could Jeremiah make that statement when it was already determined by God that that city and the temple should be destroyed? I liken this to when we go out and preach to sinners and declare unto them the salvation that is in the Lord Jesus Christ and tell them that, just like Paul told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I know there's some that say, well, how can you say that? Because God's already determined ahead of time. Well, it's by believing that they evidence that they are the Lord's. Faith doesn't come from us. So if you tell a sinner, you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved by his shed blood on the cross, we're not giving sinners a false hope. And I believe that's what Jeremiah is saying here. Would that you would bow and go and surrender yourself under the king of Babylon and his princes, that this city might live and not be destroyed. Again, that was a message that the Lord gave him to declare. And it shows how the Lord is merciful and compassionate and long-suffering even toward the vessels of wrath. That should they turn from their wicked way, according to the word of the Lord, that they would be spared. It says here that if he surrendered, his soul would live. His soul would live. He would survive and not be put to death. And if he surrendered, the city would not be burnt with fire. In other words, Jerusalem would be spared from destruction. And if he surrendered, his house would live. His wives, his children, the royal family, all would be spared from death. Sounds pretty clear, doesn't it? You say, well, why on earth didn't he do it? Well, there you go. It's not up to man's will. Man left to himself. It's like Christ said of the Pharisees, you will not come that you might have life. If all that God does is lay out the gospel before sinners and tells them to repent, unless he gives them that repentance, they'll never repent. Such is their depravity. And he said the city would not be burnt with fire. The fate of the city here rested on one man's obedience or disobedience. Doesn't that sound like the fall? By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, and by one man's obedience, many are made righteous. Zedekiah here represents, in fact, the entire city was in the hands of this king, Zedekiah. But just like Adam, when he fell, he plunged an entire race into condemnation. And so it is here with Zedekiah. He would not bow. He would not surrender. And therefore, God did what he said he'd do all along, and that was destroy the city, destroy the temple. So in verses 19 to 23, we find the Lord, again, directing this word to Zedekiah through Jeremiah. And Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah in verse 19, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand and they mock me. But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord which I speak unto thee. So it shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. But if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord has showed me. And behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes. And these women shall say, thy friends have set thee on and have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in the mire, and they are turned away back. When it says that they shall say, this was actually a chant that these women would be singing as they were taken away from the city in captivity. So shall they bring out all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause this city to be burnt with fire. Doesn't the scripture say that knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men? This matter of preaching the gospel, life and death, salvation or condemnation, it's just not a matter of standing up and informing sinners as to what the word says. There is a persuasion that we are to have with sinners, even in their rebellion, that clearly we see an example here with Jeremiah. In spite of the excuses that Zedekiah was making, he reasoned with him how foolish those excuses were. I believe we have an example here of the gospel call. Yes, we declare unto all men, the word of the Lord goes forth. We don't know who it is the Lord will be pleased to draw, who he won't, but we do know that there are consequences for sinners in not bowing to the word of the Lord, to the gospel call, to look to Christ. What was Zedekiah's problem here? He was more concerned about what others would think. When he says here, I'm afraid of the Jews in verse 19 that are fallen to the Chaldeans. These are already others that had suffered at the hands of the Chaldeans, and some had died. And so he's reasoning, well, now if I go out and surrender myself, what are they going to think? Well, if they're dead, it's not going to matter. But even if they were taken captivity, and the word reaches them that now the king himself has surrendered, he was more worried about what they might think. And isn't that the problem? That men, when they hear this gospel message of Christ and salvation through his shed blood alone for salvation, they begin to think, well, you know, if I follow this word of the gospel, then what will others think? They begin to look around at their loved ones and, well, won't they think that to be strange? But here, Jeremiah lets them know that without repentance, that he would most certainly perish, and his family with him, and that the Babylonians would surely conquer Judah and Jerusalem, just as with Adam, by the disobedience of one. By one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men. Zedekiah was being put here in a place just like Adam, as a representative of the people. And yet, he was more concerned about his own reputation than he was even about his salvation at this point. And this shows again, unless God, by His Spirit, takes the word and brings it home to the hearts of sinners, those who hear the message, they'll never repent. They'll never bow. They'll die in their sin rather than believe. And this shows again Jeremiah's faithfulness to this message. Not bending, not bowing, not altering, even for a king, but declaring unto him the word of the Lord. So, verses 24 to 28, we see here, then said Zedekiah unto Jeremiah, let no man know of these words, and thou shalt not die. He was concerned about his own well-being, but now he's telling Jeremiah, just don't go out and say we had this conversation. I don't want people to know that I've been talking with you. And he says, thou shalt not die. He wasn't going to die anyway. The Lord was preserving Jeremiah. It wasn't going to be Zedekiah putting him to death. Just like any of us, we're immortal until such time as the Lord is pleased to take us. We need not fear man. But here Zedekiah didn't want anyone else to know what the Lord had directed to him through Jeremiah. And didn't want the blame, ultimately, for the catastrophe and the destruction to be something that was his fault. So he says, but if the princes hear that I have talked with thee, and they come unto thee and say unto thee, declare unto us now what thou hast said unto the king, hide it not from us, and we will not put thee to death, also what the king said unto thee, then thou shalt say unto them. You see, he's trying to micromanage Jeremiah here, as if he had some ground to stand on. I presented my supplication before the king, and he would not cause me to return to Jonathan's house to die there. Then came all the princes unto Jeremiah and asked him. And he told them according to all these words that the king had commanded. So they left off speaking with him, for the matter was not perceived. So Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day that Jeremiah was taken. And he was there when Jerusalem was taken. He was removed into Egypt, as we're going to read later on. But here we have again a king trying to direct his way. A lot of people think that God is that way, that somehow he can be manipulated and moved, but he can't. And even when they requested of Jeremiah to tell them, according to all, verse 27, the words that the king had commanded, Jeremiah didn't lie. From what we can see here, he simply says they left off speaking with him, for the matter was not perceived. In other words, Jeremiah didn't reveal unto them what it was that the Lord had directed to Zedekiah. Each one, the Lord directs his word as he will. But Jeremiah was taken again to the pit, that dungeon. That's what it says there. That they took him, and he abode in the court of the prison and remained there until Jerusalem was conquered, just as he prophesied. There's not one thing that men can do or say that's going to change God's will and purpose. He's sovereign. He saves whom he will, and whom he will, he condemns. Gracious Father, I thank you for your word as we continue to read it. How somber it is to consider just how rebellious we are in our nature. Even hearing the word, how we try to connive and wiggle and negotiate and come up with some other end than what you have already determined. Yet we know that's impossible. And so there are many like Zedekiah who have gone to their grave and to their condemnation because they would not hear. But if we have heard, we know it's not for anything in us, but it's by your Spirit alone that you were pleased to deal with us as vessels of mercy, not vessels of wrath. That our sin you took and placed upon your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And by his death, we're justified before you. That's it. We have nothing else which to stand. But we're thankful for your mercy and grace in Christ. I pray that you would continue to bless our meeting together and indeed turn our eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might look fully on his face and not be concerned about consequences or what might befall us for following this gospel that is clearly revealed in your word. And we give you thanks and praise in our dear Savior's name.